This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
NC State is just mean to each other.
I mean, aren't we all?
We call that tough love.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. One of my favorite non-stories ever. Come on. Don't we realize at this point that all fan bases are the same?
Yeah.
All fan bases are the same.
I don't know. Some are more jerks than others.
No, you know what the difference is? Honestly.
Yeah.
The programs are more successful than others.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, expectations of a program plus, you know, whatever the formula is, expectations of a program plus success of that program, if those two things aren't in alignment, then the anger, then the classless wing of that fan base becomes more active.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the same size as across all fan bases. But when you don't have a lot of success, it brings out the crazies. When you do have success, the crazies are still there. Fewer of them are active. But when all those things don't equal for people, they lose it. And more people lose it. But again, I think the fan bases all have the same makeup. They've all got crazy. They've all got enlightened. We're better than the others. And we've all got normal. There's no difference. State fans and Carolina fans, you're the same. The same. Duke fans, you're the same. I mean, apathy sets in at times for football. It's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there was a time where even Duke fans got mad. Gosh, my timeline for the last 3 years, we're going to fire Cutcliffe. Well, they finally did. I mean, even though I don't think it was technically a firing.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. He didn't want to leave. But even Duke fans got to that point. Like, we're fed up. Okay. You get rid of the best coach you've ever had. That's fine. Now, David Cutcliffe probably should have recognized that he was no longer doing what he was brought here to do. All right, with that said, we got to get to the wall of sound because in another, I guess, type of football, we have potentially pretty big news.
The wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
And we're also going to hear from Stephen A. Smith here in the Wall of Sound because we have to. But first, for those people who are fans of the men's national soccer team, U.S. men's national team, and we're not that far away from the World Cup. World Cup starts on November 20th now. First match is November 20th. I believe the United States is in action on the 21st. Either 21st or 22nd. They're in Group B, right?
Yeah.
Group B with first matches against Wales. Gareth Bale, who is killing it right now at LAFC. And that's not good. By the way, the U.S. is in a pretty tough group.
Mm-hmm.
Wales, England, Iran. Iran is the club from, I think, pot 3 or pot 4. And they're ranked in the top 25 in the world. It is not a cakewalk at all of a situation for the United States to get out of the group stage. They're going to have to work to get out of it. They're good enough, 14th ranked according to the FIFA World Rankings, but it is not going to be an easy one for the U.S. Their captain, Christian Pulisic, is right now essentially an afterthought for Chelsea. He's playing in one of the biggest clubs in the world, and he has played a total of about 30 minutes in the first two matches. He was brought on in the 80-something minute in both matches. He's not a first-choice player for their manager, Thomas Tuchel. So we've been thinking about this for probably the last month. Does Pulisic need to get out? Manchester United, one of the great tire fires in all of sports around the country, around the world right now, they're just struggling with a capital struggling. They have inquired about Pulisic coming to them on loan. Now, I can't even wrap my mind around Chelsea loaning a player of Pulisic's caliber to Man U. It's amazing to me. But it may happen. I don't know. But this is from ESPN FC. Hercules Gomez, who is one of their soccer guys, on whether or not Pulisic has to get out of Chelsea.
Is now the time, with 3 months to go to the World Cup, for Christian Pulisic to leave Chelsea Football Club?
It was 2 weeks ago. Not right now. Mm. It was 2 weeks ago. It was that urgent of a move. Do you remember when he was here with Chelsea in Los Angeles and we went out to interview him?
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed him 1v1 and I framed a question about trust, Thomas Tuchel's trust in him. And I said, sometimes it's tough for a player to break that pattern, to break the habit. They still see you as that young player when they give you your debut. And his body language spoke volumes to me. So this is now what we're seeing, the reports about the trust, and now we're seeing the little playing time he has been receiving. He's got to go, and he's got to go now. He's got to be the guy knocking on the manager's door. He's got to be asking the manager. He's got to be asking the front office, the board, whoever it may be, his release, his transfer. And quite frankly, it's not even debatable.
He has to play. He can't sit on the bench at Chelsea. He has to play. All right, real quick, before we get to Stephen A. Smith on Tiger Woods, Matt Rhule, head coach, Carolina Panthers, on the offensive line and the decision to make Ike Ekwonu, sixth overall pick, the starter at left tackle.
We wanted Ike to play and put it on tape in a game before we put him with the ones. I don't know, lots of people have asked me that, you know, but, you know, we wanted to, you know, we wanted him to go in a game and play and then earn, you know, sort of, hey, with his play. And so he played well in the game. And so these are valuable reps for him. So, you know, there were some plays that were good, probably. There's some plays I know that weren't very good. So, you know, he's going against Judon. They got good players over there. So it's a good rep for him.
Is the idea good or bad today rolling with him at first team left back?
Yeah, I think that's where we are moving forward. So I think Brady's probably one of our most improved players on this team. And so MJ, Brady, they'll continue to battle it out. MJ and then Brady can also play out at left tackle. So getting Dennis back was good. So we have some depth right now. We'll hope that Bozeman's not out too long.
Yeah. I'd love to see the Panthers' offensive line healthy, because I think if they're healthy, they have a chance to be pretty good. And maybe, to me, that's the path to the Panthers winning 8 games. Maybe if they catch a break here and there, 9. But they have to have a healthy offensive line. And if they do that, they got a chance to be halfway decent. I mean, I don't think they're a playoff team either way. All right, one more thing before we get out of here. And Steve Forbes, Wake Forest basketball coach, is going to join us on the other side. Tiger Woods flew from his home in Jupiter, Florida, up to Wilmington, Delaware, simply to have a 3.5-hour meeting with other top PGA Tour players as they address the problem, the threat of LIV Golf. Stephen A. Smith, do you have a problem with Tiger flying up to Delaware?
I have a big issue with it.
Really?
I really, really do. I'm disgusted by it. Let me explain why. The United States government, their number two trade partner, from what I've read, is Saudi Arabia. I thought this was America. I thought we were a capitalistic society. I thought competition breeds our greatness. That's what I thought. Tiger Woods is sitting there acting like the PGA should be the only game in town. When do we say that? Now, granted, if you're the only game in town, you're the only game in town. Mm-hmm. We see the USFL and we see arena football, but we know it's the NFL and then everybody else. You can have the G League and college basketball, but we know it's the NBA and everybody else. You got Major League Baseball. We understand that you can have those things, but the chances of you usurping them and eclipsing them is slim to none. They are established brands in the United States of America that garners the support of millions, and as a result, that's what we gonna flow with. I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. That's America. You establish your level of dominance to the point that it don't matter what some competition is going to do. Cool. This is different. You got the PGA banning cats from participating. You got Tiger Woods supporting, feeling like players betrayed the PGA. What you owe the PGA? What you owe the PGA? You work. You produce. You go out there and you earn your money. They don't pay everybody. Winners get paid.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was in America. I'm sorry.
All right. Very quickly here. I do not believe for one single second that Stephen A. Smith was disgusted by it. I do not believe for one single second that somebody who just demonstrated to have no understanding of why Tiger Woods flew from Jupiter, Florida to Delaware is disgusted by this, nor has he thought 2 seconds about it. He was just, all right, I need to take a side, and I'm going to say, why? This is bad. I'm like, nah, man, they're just trying to find out where all the players' heads are. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, nobody, Tiger himself, is not saying that the PGA Tour should be the only game in town. All they're trying to do is protect their rules. That's it. That's all they're doing. Protect our rules. I think they've done a pretty good job with it so far. When we come back, Steve Forbes, head coach, Wake Forest basketball. I think they might have a source for us to talk about the World Cup in soccer. They've got two players from England on their side. Wonder if they have to change terminology. Steve Forbes next.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you. Your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Summer trips have taken place. We got an email for Save the Date, ACC Basketball Media Day in Charlotte. Steve Forbes is always thinking about basketball, even when he is watching hockey. And I recall following him on Twitter while he was live tweeting a Hurricanes playoff game. And the Wake Forest basketball coach joins us on the Adam Gold Show. First, talk to me about that experience, doing the siren, being in that environment, and then applying basketball principles to hockey. How did that work?
Well, Adam, thanks for having me on. I was a lot of pressure that day, Adam. I mean, very nervous. Watched a YouTube video of Christian McCaffrey basically tearing that siren off the stand. And I was really worried that I was not going to be strong enough to get that thing going. And it was the fourth quarter. We're trying to win, you know, trying to be Boston. And so I'm like, man, I got a lot of pressure on me to do this. But, you know, stood tall. I had a couple storm brews in me that helped me out a little bit. And then I, you know, this is crazy. I grew up in Iowa, which is not a hockey state, but close to Minnesota.
Sure.
And never been to a hockey game in my life until that experience. Now, I will tell you, that won't be my last one. And I'll wear my jersey they gave me too. That thing's pretty cool. But you know, it was fast. There was a lot of action. It was physical on the boards. There was around the basket or the goal. I mean, there was a lot of basketball stuff to me that I was watching. And then, you know, late in the game, they honored Dean Smith and went into the four corners. And without the shot clock, they iced that thing. So I had a lot of fun. Had a good time.
You were fun to follow on Twitter. Now, here's the thing that what you just said kind of jumped out at me, is that you actually went to YouTube and scouted. First of all, Christian McCaffrey's the wrong guy to scout. Because you knew how he was going to attack it. It was harder. It's harder than it looks. You don't realize how hard it is. The advice I always give people before they do it, I've done it, is don't let up. Because as soon as you let up, it's over. You cannot get it back.
Get out of the gate early.
Yeah.
Okay? You start slow, it's over with. You know? And so... And then my face turned about 50 shades of red, you know, to match my jersey and my stocking cap. I call it a stocking cap. I know people call it toboggan in the South, but you sled on toboggans.
Exactly.
There's pressure. and you know, I don't want to mess that up, you know. And, in fact, and then I'm in there with Carolina, NC State, and Duke fans. They don't want to see me succeed anyway. So it's like, man, I got to do good.
It's a state building, even for a hockey game. It's really a state building. Roy Williams got booed. They put up Roy Williams' picture for some reason, and he gets booed. Like
I got a spattering of boos.
Yeah.
Of course, people probably looked up there and said, "Who's that?"
No, you know,
they were. I'm not Roy Williams by no means, but it's a great environment. I wasn't very impressed with the traffic control going in there. It took me about a few hours to get in the building.
They're working on that. That's what I've heard.
There's a lot of people. That was great, man. I had a lot of fun, and I'd love to do it again. I just like to go over and watch a game. It was fun.
It is a blast. It's a great crowd, especially during the playoffs. Steve Forbes is joining us. I have a number of basketball things I want to ask you. You went back into the portal again. Pretty heavily. You still have a few players, from the core of last year's team. Monsanto, Williamson are back. But you went into the portal again. Do you think that this, I don't know, maybe for your purposes, or is this just the sport in general is going to be spent, you know, not entirely, but maybe 50-50 through the portal?
I mean, I think it's just an option, Adam. You know, you like right now we're all recruiting really good high school players, and you're trying to sign the very best high school players that you can get. But we're not all going to be able to do that, or we're not going to fill all of our scholarships in the fall. And so what the portal does in the spring, it just gives you a chance to probably do, you know, improve your roster. I mean, years ago, it was just what was left over, you know, from high school players or junior college players or international players. We're not recruiting junior college players here. And so it's given us an avenue or a venue to go get some seasoned players. And I do believe this, though. I do think because of the being able to transfer whenever you want and be eligible immediately, I don't think there's going to be as many grad transfers in years to come just because there's not going to be as many people sitting out. And, you know, typically a grad transfer was somebody who either, you know, sat out a year or got hurt, you know, and had an extra year. I don't know if there'll be as many of those guys moving forward, but I think the portal's probably here to stay. And, you know, we'll use it when we have to. And it's helped us a lot since I've been at Wake Forest.
You set the bar pretty high for the transfer portal last year. I don't think anybody's ever used it to that level of success. Player of the year and a guy drafted in the top 20 of the NBA draft. How much tampering is going on through the portal?
Well, first of all, I'm not the portal whisperer. Okay, I mean,
you don't need to name names.
No, I'm talking about just being able to get those good players.
Oh, no, you are. You've set the bar. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I do think there is, but I think that it's not probably it's never directly to the player. It's always somebody around them. Mm-hmm. You know, a coach, an aunt, an uncle, somebody, an advisor, whatever. I mean, yeah, I do think there's that going on, but I think it's probably more now than ever before. I do think a lot of players knew where they were going before they went in,
mm-hmm.
but I also think it's been going. I mean, it's not like that's new to our profession or our sport or any other sport. It's happened in the past. It's probably a little bit more prevalent now just because of the ease of being able to transfer and play.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a lot of guys I used to get calls about, hey, so-and-so wants to transfer. But then at the end of the day, they don't transfer because why? Because they don't want to sit out.
Right.
And I get it. And so now, hey, there's none of that. You play right away. So, yeah, I do think that is going on for sure.
Steve Forbes is with us, Wake Forest basketball coach here on the Adam Gold Show. There's been so much, complaining, I'll just use that term, about the transfer portal or NIL, as though these are new phenomenons in college sports. I've argued now it might be we might have seen an increase in it, but for the most part, recruiting inducements have been around since we've had recruiting. Whenever recruiting began, inducements also began. Now everything is just above board. We're seeing more of it. It's sort of like it's the tip of the iceberg that we see, but I haven't had a problem with it, but from a coaching perspective, like, how do you view the new way of everything getting done?
Yeah, it's tricky, and you're right. I mean, that's been around forever, right? It's just always behind the scenes or hush-hush or people pointing fingers or however. But now it's pretty much out in the open. And bringing it out in the open, it's also brought more people into that realm and more people doing it than what you're talking about in the past. I mean, it's pretty prevalent. And I just think there's been a shift in the narrative of recruiting. And, in the past, when you and I started out, it was education, it was facilities, relationship,
right,
style of play, opportunity for playing time. I think it's flipped. I think it's NIL. I think it's opportunity for playing time. I think it's style play. I think it's relationship. And in the end, I think it's facilities and education. And it's almost become a little bit more transactional than relationship-based or educational-based. And so, is that good or bad? Depends who you ask, And it's an ever-changing landscape. It's changed. If you talk about the group that I brought in with Alondis, Jake, Dallas, and Hadeem C compared to the group the next year and how recruiting was approached and what was important, it's totally flipped in a matter of probably 4 to 6 months.
Right.
And I don't see it changing. I know a lot of people are saying, well, it's not sustainable. Well, I'm not sure I really believe that. And I believe it in basketball more so than anything because we're not talking about huge numbers.
Right.
Basketball is a different deal than football. And we got less numbers and more professional opportunities and quicker.
Yep.
Football players got to be there for 3 years. They had no choices. Basketball players have the G League Ignite, overtime league, go overseas, one and done. And so they want to get there quicker. They want to get there faster. And they want to make money doing it. And so our deal is different. And I'm not here to say that it's not sustainable. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure I necessarily believe that. I think it is.
I think it's all sustainable. It's just going to take a while to adapt to all of it. And also because so much of it's felt so fast and we it was just like an onslaught. I think people's minds just haven't adjusted to that fact. I was looking at your roster. You must have an enormous recruiting budget. Worthing, England, Cornwall, England, Malmo, Sweden. Are you drafting a World Cup soccer team or are you putting a basketball squad together?
I had Ted Lasso recruiting for me, Wichita State. it's called Zoom, Adam. And then Bobby Clement was actually in the United States playing at Sunrise Christian Academy in Wichita. But no, you know, in fact, I just got done watching the series Poldark. It's, you know, it's filmed in Cornwall because I had to get to know Matthew Marsh even better.
Right.
You know, being from, he's actually in Cornwall. I think he was closer to France than he is to London.
Okay.
And Cameron's from London, basically. It was a great trip. You know, Cameron and Matthew got to be able to play in front of their friends and family.
Sure.
Bobby didn't get to play because he played in the under-20 Sweden. He played for the national team all summer, and he was just coming back from Tbilisi, Georgia. So he just joined us. You know, listen, everybody does these things different. I do it different. I do it books and basketball. I do it strictly for the educational purpose. I don't coach the team. My assistants coach the team. We do an unbelievable amount of touring. We had a 70-some page syllabus with us. It was a World War II theme, from London to Paris to Normandy beaches to Amsterdam. And I think it's a great opportunity to use basketball and not let it use you.
It just sounds like an absolute blast. The bonding, especially with a new group, has to be enormous.
Yeah. No, it's the best. That's the, you know, on top of the educational experience, that's the best part of it, because they're together, isolated in a different country, and, you know, hanging out with each other and learning along the way and finding the way around these big cities and riding the tube and, you know, riding the metro. And, you know, just a lot of that, too, is them is just exploring on their own. And let's be honest. I mean, they all want to play in the NBA, but we know that's not realistic. And so many of them, if they want to play professionally, are going to play in Europe. And so it gives them 10 days in three different countries to say, maybe I can do this. Maybe I want to do this. Maybe, you know, or maybe I don't. But I do think the basketball education part of it, too, is that, you know, maybe I can live over here. And I've had – many, many players do that, hundreds mm-hmm. of players or more do that. And they've all had life-changing experiences.
Real quick, are Cam and Matt bullish on England's chances at the World Cup?
Oh, I'm sure they are. I haven't asked them. But, you know, Matt's a 7'1" goalkeeper. You know, Cam's probably a striker the way he plays. So, I don't know. I mean, I know about as much about soccer as I do. Of course, they call it football and
right.
hockey. Adam. So I'm not going to go out on a limb here and pretend like I know what I'm talking about because I don't.
Oh, I do that every day. You have to learn how to do that.
I've been coaching. That's what we all do. That we all do that. You know,
fake it till you make it.
But you know, it's interesting. Like Matthew Marsh's great grandfather is buried. He died not on D-Day, but a few days after. So he was buried there in the cemetery in Normandy. And
oh,
so
wow.
There was a lot of really good learning opportunities on the trip.
Real quick before I let you go, two quick basketball suggestions. Flopping to be, I think they're calling it a Class B technical foul. I've never heard of that. A Class B misdemeanor. Are you in favor of getting flopping out of the game? How would you do that?
I despise flopping. I hate it. It's fake. It's fake toughness, fake mm-hmm. defense. But it's a really hard call for the ref, and I don't like to see technicals. I mean, there's a lot of penalty to that when you do that. I don't know the true answer to that, and I have to probably think about it a little bit more. But as a coach, me personally, I despise flopping.
Yeah, you
and I think. I just think it takes away from your athleticism. The teams that are athletic and they're fast and quick, they get punished by floppers, and I don't like that.
I'm 100% on board with that. Five timeouts per half? Shouldn't we go the other way? Shouldn't we have fewer timeouts in a half?
No, yeah, fewer. I don't know what to say half the time. I mean, I let the players talk, or they're just so long. I mean, like, what more am I going to talk about? Get back out there, you know? So, yeah, I'm not in for more timeouts. I mean, you know, I guess they need more commercials.
Exactly. That's what we need. That's what we need in life, more commercials.
Pay the bills.
More promos for Ted Lasso. Steve Forbes, you're the best. Follow him on Twitter at Forbes Wake Hoops, especially during the hockey season. He will be dropping all sorts of truth bombs. Thank you so much. We'll talk again very soon. Appreciate your time. Welcome back.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you.
You got it. Steve Forbes, always fun to chat with.
over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast. WNBA playoffs start tonight. No Diana Taurasi for Phoenix, although I think they play tomorrow. But it's the last season for her. Their team's probably going to get run. Sue Bird and the Storm, I believe, are slight favorites to win their series. So I am Team Sue Bird here.
Okay.
Always have been big Sue Bird fan. I'd love to see them win it, but I don't think the Storm is all that. Looks like it's going to come down to the Las Vegas Aces and the Chicago Sky. Those are the
Vegas Aces? Okay.
Yeah, Las Vegas Aces and the Chicago Sky. Las Vegas Aces arguably doing better than the four Aces on the LIV Tour. Although the four Aces is coming off a two-tournament win streak. So, nobody cares.
Is that one of the team names?
Yes.
Oh.
It's the Dustin Johnson team.
Oh, okay.
The four Aces. They have Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, Taylor Gooch, and Pat Perez. Mm. That's your group right there.
Okay.
Pat Perez, who's been like 14 over par in two LIV events, has nonetheless been part of two winning teams.
Oh, good for him.
That's the beauty.
Am I going to get sued by Patrick Reed because I didn't know his team name?
You might be sued by Patrick Reed.
Okay.
Defamation. So funny. Absolutely hysterical. All right. It's time to continue our NFL tour. And Dennis, you have been taking us around the country, different
yes.
NFL cities. I missed our second run of Inglewood.
Yeah. It's okay. We went back to Randy's Donuts.
Did we?
Yes. Go All back right. to Randy's Donuts.
Good
we went
spot.
Back to the Forum. We went back to the mausoleum for
really?
Sugar Ray Robinson's grave.
Very nice.
We did all those things. We went back to YouTube Theater. Now, the question was brought up earlier this week. When you go back to a city, for example, if you're on vacation, you go back to visit a city, are you repeating the same stuff that you're doing? Are you going back to your staple place? Or are you trying to go to more or different places while you're there?
It all depends. How about when you are, when you spend a fair amount of time in one city?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to San Francisco when the Panthers were in the Super Bowl back in, what year was it, 16? 15. 16 Super Bowl, 15
yeah.
season. So we were in San Francisco. We were there for like 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
I found like on night three, we found a little hole in the wall seafood place.
Okay.
That the pan-fried calamari, I'm a calamari fan.
All right.
The pan-fried calamari was an out-of-body experience. It was that good. Now, San Francisco has so many great food options.
I've been told that.
I went back again.
Okay.
And again. Because the pan-fried calamari was next level.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I remembered the name of it.
Was it in San Francisco or was
yes.
it in
oh, no,
Santa
no.
Clara?
No, no. I never went to Santa Clara. I never went down to the game.
Okay.
I didn't go down to their opening night. We were there all week. I stayed in San Francisco the entire time.
Okay.
I ran up the hill towards the opening scene of Full House, the Painted Ladies. I ran up from our hotel, which was like not in the valley, but in downtown San Francisco. I ran up to the hills. That was a run.
I bet.
Oh, my. Like a 20-degree incline, it feels.
It's might as well have been the hike I took at Linville Gorge this weekend.
Was, probably.
Yeah.
It was insane, but it's such a cool place. I went to Haight-Ashbury, took a picture on the corner, the famous picture of Haight-Ashbury.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous. Saw the old Kezar Stadium.
Well, there you go.
Where the 49ers first played when they went to San Francisco. Yeah, but I went to, I found that little restaurant spot. Gosh. Okay. Pan-fried calamari. It was just next level.
Hey, but I'm with you on that. If I find my spot, I'm going to go back to it. That's why when we go back to East Rutherford, New Jersey, we got to eat at the Candlewick Diner. That's the reason why we got to go
that,
back.
That was my joint back in the day.
Yeah, so you know all about this. So again, 100%. We're going back to East Rutherford because we have the New York Jets. Yeah, I know you're a recovering Jets fan.
Yes.
And
I used to go to Jets games, even in East Rutherford.
Did I tell you about my first ever NFL, like regular season NFL game? I actually went to a Hall of Fame game back when
That's
I was like 6 years old. Well, the Broncos were playing the Lions, and I was a big John Elway fan.
Okay,
so
that's
my
fair.
My parents, or my dad took me to Canton, so we could see John Elway. We actually saw him. It was cool.
Very cool.
But anyway, I actually saw at old RFK Stadium in D.C. the Washington, well, then they're a different name, but we saw Washington host the Jets.
Okay.
Final score, Jets 3-0.
I remember that.
Yes.
That game was just an awful, terrible football game. Jets played a lot of those in their time.
It's funny how both teams still do that.
Yes. Washington is bad, but I've been obviously to several football games, NFL games at RFK Stadium, old RFK, and great place. I would think to be the home team when things are going well.
Yeah.
Terrible place to actually watch a game if you cared about being comfortable. It's just an awful, awful stadium, but it's one of those old stadiums that has charm.
It does.
And because the Commandos have no charm, they don't play there anymore.
Now, going back again, we're in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So we're eating at Candlewick Diner.
Yep.
So we got to do all the normal stuff that we do when we go to East Rutherford. Like, we still have to try and find Jimmy Hoffa.
Right.
We got to figure out where he's buried, where his body parts are.
Wherever Gate D was of the old Meadowlands, he is apparently, parts of him are apparently in the cement of Gate D.
Yeah.
That's what I was told.
But who knows? But that's also the fun of it. You can go out there and try and find it. Maybe,
yes.
Maybe he's somewhere in American Dream. The amusement park. For those who don't know, may have missed it a couple weeks ago. American Dream is basically an indoor amusement park.
All right. First of all, it is an amusement park. It's almost doing the term amusement park an injustice.
Okay.
Because most amusement parks, you'll have water slides and all the water things.
Yeah.
And you'll have roller coasters and other rides like that. This also has two different miniature putt-putt golf places.
Yeah.
It has an indoor ice rink.
Nice.
Okay. It also has, and I kid you not here, it has an indoor snow skiing resort.
How?
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Is this like one of those indoor skydiving things where you're just basically floating on air like a big fan that's blowing up at you? Is that
it what offers is? Downhill skiing. I wish that I was telling a lie. I am not. You can surf.
Well, that I've seen, like the big rush of water, those waves that you can jump on a board and
aquarium.
Surf.
Aquarium. It's just absolutely insane.
So you just never need to leave, basically.
No, it's an incredible.
Just turn your kids loose and go.
It is massive. It is massive. Like, East Rutherford primarily was a swamp. It was a swamp. Mm-hmm. And all of this is built on top of swampland. So they didn't have to knock anything down. There was nothing there. And they built this massive, massive, sprawling amusement park.
Okay.
Snow skiing.
All right. Well, after you get done in American Dream, after you find Jimmy Hoffa, you want a little, a little tasty treat as you stare at the New York skyline. I'm assuming you can see the skyline from East Rutherford.
Sure.
Got to eat a Top That Donuts.
Again.
Got to go back to Top That Donuts.
Did we get a different donut this time?
I mean, you can get whatever donut you want there.
You can.
We're going back to Top That Donuts. Much like we went back to Randy's Donuts in Inglewood, we're going back to Top That Donuts.
Do they recognize us at Randy's Donuts in Inglewood?
At this point, we're just regulars.
We're regular.
We're just regular. The usual.
Very nice.
Like it's 8:45. We know Adam's walking in. The usual's ready.
Beautiful.
By the way, tomorrow we're going to Minneapolis to the Vikings.
Oh, yes. Very nice.
I'm actually looking forward to that one.
Very nice. Going Minneapolis.
The Mall of America.
Very underrated city. Mindy.
Who's what? Mindy?
I don't know who that is.
Who's Mindy? All right, for Friday, we're going to swing on by. Oops, sorry. Let me go ahead and get the...
Dennis is dipping into the Dunkin'
going
Donuts cup.
Going to Baltimore.
Oh, man.
Going to Baltimore.
Old stomping grounds for me.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We're not going to Towson.
So many options.
We're not going to Towson.
Oh, we're going out of Fells Point. We're going to Federal Hill.
Yeah.
We're going to Canton. Oh, man. So many good places to go. So many good places to go.
Rewatch The Wire.
I ain't going to eat in the Inner Harbor. No. All right, you can go to Phillips if you want.
Okay.
But there are 40 places better than Phillips. Not to knock Phillips. 40 places better than Phillips.
Are we going to have a picnic in Patterson Park?
No.
No?
No. I just might just go hang out in Canton.
Okay. I played lacrosse in Patterson Park.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you? All right. It's an awesome, awesome place. Could we have time to play maybe a little golf in Baltimore?
Are there golf courses in the city?
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yep. They used to play a, what was it? There was a golf league. There was a golf tour that stopped in Baltimore. I'll have to get the official title and all of that. But yes.
LIV?
Wasn't LIV. It was definitely not LIV. They did not play for a lot of money at all.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.